Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show featuring the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson. It hardly seems possible, but by the end of the week, the long month of March will be behind us. Seems like just yesterday I was talking on the air about March coming in like a lion. As for it going out like a lamb, well, if you count today, it will be sunny today, high of 60. Otherwise, it looks like we'll get some storms midweek, and folks can expect windy conditions pretty much every day of this week. Later in the show, we'll have Allison Walter in from Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau to tell us what to expect for the month of April. And we have a story about the friends of the late skateboarder Georgie Tsushima, who are seeking to name the Ames Skateboard Park after him. His mother, Teresa Downing Matibag, will be joining us. But for now, we are joined by Andrea Malarino and Marcy Webb of Access, Assault Care Center Extending Shelter and Support, who are here to tell us about their annual art event, Hearts for Art, which will be on view this weekend at the Ames Public Library. Andrea, Marcy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
You are both sexual assault advocates, team lead, and Story County sexual assault advocate. And so you work with usually women who come in to with experiences that they need to deal with.
Absolutely. So there, we actually provide confidential services for people of all genders, so men, women, trans, and children. You know, we provide services for those who have experienced any type of violent crime, primarily sexual assault, domestic violence, and human trafficking, also including stalking, among other crimes. So,
scary stuff.
Yeah. Yes. A lot of people don't realize quite how prevalent it is in our community, just as it is in every community.
And part of your services are obviously counseling and support. You've integrated art into this process. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. We started this back in 2011, and we just were trying to think of some innovative and creative ways to help survivors heal from crimes that didn't include just the typical talking. And for some folks, I think that putting words to the experiences that they've went through can be very difficult. And so by providing some different mediums and some art supplies and some encouragement, we thought that having survivors try out some different art projects would be a really good way to start. And that's kind of how Hearts for Art developed.
That's really interesting. So is this something that a victim will do on her own or his own, or are there classes that they attend and they all do it kind of together and support each other?
Yeah, you know, we've actually done it both ways. For a lot of folks, it's a very private process, or they want to try to do it on their own. So we're excited to provide a lot of different art supplies. And then over the months, we have some different classes on and off.
And what sorts of expressions do you see? Are they abstract? Are they very, you know, sort of representative of what's gone on? What do you see in the art when you present the victims with the opportunity to express themselves this way?
Well, it really varies widely. We see a lot of mediums used. There will be some very literal representations of art. You know, we've had a client just write out her story and write out like kind of like a monologue of how she's feeling internally and you know, create art around it. We have others that use very abstract art. We have sculpture, you know, clay, acrylic, collage. Poetry is a really big medium we promote as well. And one thing to note, these workshops we do, we are very transparent that anyone can come. It doesn't have to be a client of Access. Anyone who has experienced crime can come and participate. And there's no requirement to show their art in our show. That's absolutely voluntary.
Right. Because that's a form of exposure, of coming out as a victim and not everybody's ready for that.
Right. I actually have a quick thing to share. We have one of our artists would like me to share a little bit about her art that we're showing, just so you guys can kind of get an image for one of the pieces you might see at the show. By the way, the show is this Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 6 on Saturday and 1 to 5 on Sunday. And there will be advocates there at all times, you know, if you have any questions, along with an access booth to answer any questions or kind of guide you around the show.
And the maybe you can tell me, Marcy, the art's going to be hanging where in the library? Is it like the front hallway or as you go
in? I think that they call it the auditorium. So it's the very large room towards the front of the library with the glass windows. You can actually see it from the street as you're walking in the main entrances.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you've brought a picture up to our table here in the studio. It's a kind of a blurry photograph, a blurry selfie. Mm-hmm. Photograph, mm-hmm. Artfully done, and the questions: was it the dress, the tights, the makeup, or the booze? And this is a young woman's question about why this happened to her.
Mm-hmm. Kind of that internal struggle of, you know, why did you think you deserved to violate me in this manner? And this is actually a selfie from that night that she was assaulted from prior to. So this is a very powerful piece of art. This artist's name is Zoe B. And so she will have some art along with this one at our show. And she is also having her own art show this month. It's been going on from the 23rd and will go on till the 25th at the Pioneer Room in the Memorial Union. She has more photography there being shown. And that project is about photos of people who have experienced sexual assault.
Oh. And the words that she writes on that poster are very powerful because mm-hmm. – you know, that's often used as those words, you know, that somehow you deserve it because of what you're wearing or how you're behaving, that you deserve this thing to happen to you. That is probably the biggest myth or misperception that you have to fight against.
Absolutely. It's one of those, what's called victim blaming statements, things to kind of take the responsibility off of the perpetrator and try to put them on, the survivor instead. And, you know, and it's not just a thing that happens. Someone chooses to assault you. And survivors are often left really trying to grasp that. Marcy, do you have anything to add about that?
Well, I did want to mention with the art show, every piece of art, whether it's abstract or whether it's very literal, whether it's collage work, every piece has a artist card narrative next to it. And in those statements, some of the artists choose to talk a little bit about how their crime impacted them. Other artists talk a little bit about their healing process and give some encouraging words of hope or of explanation into kind of their journey. On each card, the artist can either choose to put their full name or a pseudonym or anonymous. So in all aspects of this, we try to make the process really empowering, and they can choose to share with their audience whatever they want that community member to know. And we think that's really important for all of the reasons that Andrea just listed, because we're trying to really give them some of that power back.
That makes a lot of sense. So they get to choose where in the case of the crime they did not get to choose. Andrea, you have a statement there that one of the artists has written.
Yes. So one of the artists in the show, she has a photography piece in our art show, and she wanted us to share this on her behalf. So she's written a bit about the show. She really enjoys the program and sees the benefits it has. So she says, "The artists featured here used their projects as part of the healing process, but this art show is about so much more than therapy. This art show is about speaking out against domestic violence and sexual assault. Though other people may not feel it, there is a lot of societal pressure to silence survivors. Domestic violence and sexual assault takes place behind closed doors, and society tells us that they should stay there. The few survivors who speak out publicly become targets for slander and threats and are blamed for the actions of others. They are told that the crimes they experienced were justified. They become victims yet again. That is why so many of the artists in this show choose to remain anonymous. These artists might not be standing in front of a podium, but they are not silent. They are telling us their stories, not in words, but through their art. They are telling us the horrors that they went through, the emotions they have felt, their journeys, their scars, their hopes, and dreams. They are speaking out, and it is up to all of us to listen.
Wow, that is a powerful statement, and I see it all come together with the art as a medium of expression that allows a certain degree of anonymity, but also allows the expression, the rage, the despair, all of the emotions that accompany such a horrible assault. Anything else you'd like to add about this show?
It's at the Ames Public Library. They are a great ally to us. Ames Public Library is always there as a support for access. So we're hosting this show together, and we just really hope to see a great turnout this year.
I would also like to add, if there are folks listening who have pieces of art that you're interested in submitting potentially in the future for another one of our shows, we are excited to have art on loan from not only clients that we've served, but also community members that identify being crime victims or having friends or family who have been impacted by crime. So feel free to reach out to us at Access if you have future interest in that as well.
So this is Hearts for Art, Crime Victim Art Exhibition 2016. You do this every year. I see the posters every year calling for art. And it is this weekend, Saturday, April 2nd, Sunday, April 3rd, at the Ames Public Library. Andrea Mallarino, Marcy Webb, thank you so much for coming in and talking about it.
Thank you, Greta.
Thank you. Take care.
You're not alone. I'm with you. I'm lonely too. What's that song? Can't be sung by two. A broken heart, isolated and afraid. Open up, this is a ray. I wanna get it through to you. You're not alone. You're not alone. Every night stand in your place. Every tear on every face tastes the same. A broken dream.
And you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson. We now turn to a story that caught my attention from the alternative news website, iowainformer.com, which published this story on Friday following the Ames Park and Rec Commission meeting that was held on Thursday afternoon. According to the article, this was the second of their monthly meetings that concerned the naming of the skate park on 6th Street for Georgie Tsushima by all accounts a brilliant and generous-hearted young Ames man who had started a skateboard shop when he was still in Ames High School and was a remarkable presence at the skate park, but who had sustained a critical brain injury while skating in California and died from complications 1 year later last July, just after reopening his skate shop in a campus town storefront. I asked iowainformer.com publisher and author of the story, Gavin Aronson, into the studio to fill in a few gaps in the story.
Talk to anyone about the skate park, and he was you know, the core of this group of people at the skate park. There's no controversy over whether or not it should be named after him. You know, everyone, it seems to be a universal agreement among people who actually are part of the skate park community. The Park and Rec Commission meeting in February was more than, almost 2 hours long, mostly made up of people going up to the lectern and just telling all these stories about him. And, you know, it was everyone from friends from high school, friends from elsewhere, parents of children who he mentored there and provided a safe space for. And
there were two things going on at these Parks and Rec Commission meetings in February and March. At the same time that skaters and friends, according to Gavin, there were dozens present each time and 2,000 had signed a petition. These folks were making the case for naming the Ames Skate Park after Georgie Tsushima. At the same time that was happening, Parks and Rec Director Keith Abraham was proposing a new city policy for the naming of city parks in general. Evidently, the request by Georgie's friends had drawn city staff's attention to the fact that Ames lacked such a policy to guide such decisions. Most controversially, this new policy would stipulate that there be a 3-year waiting period after the designee's death. Of course, it's been less than a year since Georgie passed. This led to some confusion about exactly what the commission would recommend to City Council, not to mention frustration on the part of Georgie's supporters.
From the Park and Rec Commission's side of things, they were talking about how they wanted, you know, they needed to separate the bureaucracy part of this and creating this policy to create some consistency for the future as more requests like this may be made. One of the members at least said in her time, I believe, on the commission, she hadn't seen any other requests that had been made. So this was perhaps something a little new to a lot of them. So there was that part of it. And then what frustrated the supporters was there were some suspicions, I think, with some of them. You know, is this being done to slow down the process? There's another thing going on here, which is the city's planning. They have about $100,000 they set aside a year or two ago to renovate the skate park, add some new features perhaps, or just fill in some cracks in the concrete and stuff like that. So the supporters of Georgie Tsushima think that, you know, this would be a good time to, as the renovations are completed, to also rename or to name the skate park. It has no name right now, but to name it for him.
Again, that's Gavin Aronson, former Ames Tribune reporter, who wrote about this meeting on his alternative news website, IowaInformer.com. The article on the website is titled, quote, "Friends, Local Lawmakers, Name Skate Park for Georgie Tsushima." And the lawmakers part of that headline provided an interesting twist to the story. Both State Representative Lisa Heddens and State Senator Herman Kernbach were at Thursday's Parks and Rec Commission meeting. Representative Heddens has a special personal connection to the issue.
Yeah, so her daughter, Mackenzie Heddens, she used to skate with Georgie. So Mackenzie's been a part of this group who's been proposing that the park be named for Georgie, and she's been active in helping organize these efforts, and she spoke at both of the Parks and Recreation meetings. Mm-hmm. Well, Herman Kornbach, he said he was is a neighbor of Georgie's parents.
And Senator Kornbach added one of the lighter notes to the meeting.
And one thing Herman Kornbach mentioned was there's a Carol Marty disc golf course named after someone who has made a lot of contributions to the Parks and Recreation Department, you know, physical labor and stuff like that, improving the parks. And so Herman Kornbach came up and spoke and asked Jan Barron, longtime Ames resident, I'm sure many listeners have heard of or know. You know, Herman asked if Carol Marty was still alive, and she said, yes, very much so. And so that was kind of fun. And
I asked Gavin what ultimately came out of the Parks and Rec Commission meeting.
So the Parks and Recreation Commission, their role is typically to make recommendations to the City Council. So they discussed a couple modifications to this policy, this naming policy. There were a couple of things at issue. There was the 3-year waiting period for outstanding individuals, quote unquote, after their death, before something could be named after them. So that question came up. Also, this question of large money donors who make investments to establish parks facilities and have things named after them, whether or not there should be a similar waiting period in place. So there was some discussion about that. At the end, commissioners decided to keep that in place with one objection, but they recommended that the council add language that would give preferential treatment to somebody who had a personal tie to the facility under consideration for naming. And that 3-year period can also be waived at the council's discretion. So, it seems like, there's a good chance that this could happen, before 3 years passes.
Right. And so this will be taken up by the city council?
Yeah, the full policy, the broader policy of naming parks and recreation facilities. And then it'll go back to the Parks and Rec Commission to look at this request specifically. Mackenzie Heddens did ask that, among maybe one or two other people, that the Parks and Rec Commission look at this specific request about the skate park first, since it was made before, the policy proposal was drafted, but it doesn't look like the Parks and Rec Commission wants to go that route.
And that was Gavin Aronson talking about an article he wrote for IowaInformer.com, an alternative news website, about the naming of the 6th Street Ames skateboard facility for Georgie Tsushima, a young man who had become a hero to many in the skate community before his tragic death last year. Here in the studio with me is Teresa Downing Matibag, Georgie's mother. And Teresa, surely it has been a very emotional couple of years for you with Georgie's accident, miraculous recovery, and then sudden death, and then this new development, the movement to name the skate park after Georgie and the obstacle that's been put in the way. What has it been like for you?
I guess I would first like to say, Greta, that I have truly appreciated the tremendous support of the community and believe that the support is a reflection of Georgie's very real contributions, not only here in Ames to youth in terms of mentorship, friendship, companionship, his spirit of inclusiveness in terms of just being absolutely open to welcoming anyone in his life who needed a friend, but also his impact at the national level. Prior to moving back to Ames after incurring his head trauma injury, Georgie had spent some time traveling around our country doing videography of young people in towns and in many states and featuring those young people on national websites alongside professionals. And I just believe that his spirit in terms of his joy of life and his love of people is truly reflected in all of the support that we are seeing now.
Wow, that's I did not know about the type of videography he was doing. That's really neat that he was trying to, pull people's spirits up by showing and celebrating their accomplishments all over the country. It must have been very difficult, though, to be a mother of a skateboarder, which is such a dangerous sport. How did you let go and let him be this amazing person that he was?
I'm not sure if I ever really did let go. I was constantly concerned about him, particularly since many skateboarders don't wear helmets as part of their sport. And at the same time, Greta, I had to remind myself that we live in a society where our children's and young adults' lives are fraught with danger because many of them do engage in sports that put them at risk of head trauma injury. For example, I looked up a 2007 study by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission that showed that in 2007, there were 36,400 football players who incurred head trauma injuries. There were 24,700 basketball players who incurred injuries, and about 18,000 skateboarders and scooters. who incurred head trauma injuries. So really, rates of head trauma injury among football players, basketball players, people who engage in winter sports are very high, just as our head trauma injuries among skateboarders. And yet we send our children out there to engage in the sports they love, whether that's skiing, football, basketball, or skateboarding, knowing that they are at some level of risk. So I actually say my prayers every single day for my kids. And I did that for Georgie, Joshua, and Marie, knowing that having any given person in my life is truly a gift and blessing every single moment.
Did Georgie wear a headgear?
No, he did not.
The Campus Town Skate Shop that he opened on the day of his death is still going.
It is.
In fact, station manager Ursula Rudenberg and I visited it over the weekend. Tell me about this shop and who's been running it and how it's continued.
Georgie opened FLC Skate Shop about 1 year after incurring his head trauma injury in August of 2014. In August of 2014, I got a call at 11:30 p.m. at night from a police officer in the San Diego area telling me that Georgie had incurred a serious injury and he was not sure if he was going to live even on the way to the hospital. And all of our family immediately flew out to California to be with him. He was in the hospital for over 2 months. And when he came home, Greta, he could not speak. He did not have a short-term memory. He had to learn how to speak. He had to learn how to remember, how to think, how to move all over again. And as he went through this journey, I saw in him an incredible sense of strength, resilience, and will to recover his life. And he worked hours and hours a day going through that recovery. Well, he got to the point that summer, about a year again after his initial injury, wherein he had regained nearly fully all of his capacities. We believed he was ready to return to school. He was ready to return to his full-time work as a professional skateboard videographer. He traveled around, you know, once again, doing videography for professional skateboarders for the company for which he worked. And he was ready to return to California, and he said to me before he left, he said, "Mom, we don't have a skateboard shop here in Ames, and I think we really need one, and that's something I would like to give to the community here before I return to California." And he said, "I'm going to open the shop in a spirit of service to the community." He said, "I don't really care if it makes a profit. I just want the kids here and families here to have a place to go where they feel welcome, to have a place to go where they can buy their skateboards and longboards and shoes and whatever they need to fully engage in this sport." And that is our intention in reopening the shop after losing Georgie. Our intention is to be there, to be that open door to anyone who wants to engage in board sports in Ames, and also to anyone who wants to be a part of a community that they know will accept them no matter who they are or what their walk in life has looked like.
Yeah. So it sounds to me that the skateboard community or culture as it's developed here in Ames is kind of marked by its inclusiveness, its openness, and it attracts people who might not find a niche elsewhere in their young adult lives.
I would say, Greta, that it is characterized by a very deep sense of inclusiveness in terms of the young people's and families' friendships with one another. Many of these friendships are actually intergenerational. You will see young kids going to the skate park, interacting with some of the older boys who will mentor them and bring them under their wing and teach them how to practice the sport. I think another really neat thing about the skateboard community is that many of the mostly guys in the community are avid environmentalists. I have encountered, and I've had a lot of them over to my home to you know, just spend time together and to organize around this skateboard shop and figure out how we're going to do this. And I've just learned that many of the boys are top students at Iowa State University. If they're in high school or junior high school, many of them are very committed to their academics. They are loyal, trustworthy friends. As I just mentioned, many of them are avid environmentalists. They very much care not only about skateboarding, but about our park system, more generally speaking, and have a very profound love of nature. Georgie was a videographer, as I mentioned before, and many of the people who skateboard have skills in photography and videography, and I've seen an incredible display of art emerge from their not only doing videography of skateboarding, but also going out into all of the parks around Ames and taking beautiful photographs and creating very gorgeous videos of the nature that's on display in our community.
Oh my! And so it is. It is a kind of creative art that attracts creative souls, it sounds like, and they're following in Georgie's footsteps in many ways with this videography. Well, it sounds like the Volunteer Parks and Rec Commission is determined to realize this vision of Georgie's friends to name the skateboard park after him, even if there are some road bumps along the way, and getting those road bumps under control is part of the job of the Parks and Rec staff when it comes to the skateboard park. Is it dangerous right now, the park? Or they're talking about renovating it, but filling in cracks and so forth.
I think that there are a few cracks in the park. I don't skateboard myself, so I can't tell you exactly where they are. I know that the boys, including Georgie, have spent a considerable amount of time working on repairs at the park.
Oh, they do it themselves.
They do. They go there. They will shovel the park in the winter. They clean up garbage. They will bring whatever kind of material they use to fix some of the cracks in the cement there to make the park safer for anyone who is skateboarding there. So I wouldn't say it was dangerous. I would say, though, that the skateboard community has outgrown the park in that we need a larger park to serve their needs and the interest in the sport at large.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful community that has come into your life and must continue to sustain you after the loss of your dear son, Georgie. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts?
As we close today, I would like to say that it has been a wonderful community, as you say, and the city of Ames has been a fantastic community in terms of its support for what we are trying to do here in terms of renaming the skate park after Georgie, or naming it after Georgie because it doesn't have a name yet. And that community, we're really excited about the fact that we have the opportunity to bring the community together, not only here in Ames, but the skateboard community across the country as well. We are very much hoping, for example, this summer to bring the professional team who had invited Georgie to skateboard with them to Ames. About a year and a half ago, he was invited to come on board the Stereo Skateboards team as an amateur with the possibility of going professional with them. And we're very much hoping to bring them here and just come together to show the city that, you know, this is a group of people who really are contributing to society just in the same manner as people who participate in other sports and other kinds of activities participate. We all have our unique gifts that we have to contribute, and we're excited to share what we have with our town.
Oh, that's very exciting. I hope you'll stay in touch with us if that does happen so we can report
you
on it. And it sounds like some action on the park naming policy and then on this particular skate park name will be undertaken by the City Council fairly shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Teresa Downing-Matibag.
Thank you.
paralyze the signal and you're banging on Freon. Paleolithic eon. Put the fake goatee on. And it booms as cool as sugar-free jazz. Placemat won't lap, but help you with the automat. And it's clear and clean as sugar-free jazz.
Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host, Greta Anderson. That was Soul Coughing with Sugar-Free Jazz. And we just spoke with Teresa Downing Matibag about her son, Georgie Tsushima. I failed to mention that the store, the skate shop that we were discussing is FLC Skate Shop on Lincoln Way, 2522 Lincoln Way. That's Campus Town, the central block there in Campus Town. And FLC stands for Flatland Crew, which is what Georgie and his friends called themselves, living here in Iowa and trying to find some sloped surfaces to skate on. So we are joined now by Allison Walter from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. She joins us here at Local Talk every month to preview the next month.
Good morning.
Hi, and I'm sure April is a busy month for Ames in general, but it looks to be especially busy for Iowa's science-minded high schoolers.
It is. We have five big events that'll be in Ames this month, and it's kind of exciting to have all of these students coming to Ames, spending a little time and getting to know the university as well as the community.
Yep. There, you've published an article, I think it's on your website, that runs through these various kind of congregations of young people that are happening, all really about science.
Yes.
There's a state science and technology fair that's coming right up.
Yes, and it's for students grade 6 to 12, and it is through the school system and through Iowa State Extension and the 4-H programs. And the students put together projects, and then they have the opportunity to exhibit them on in Hilton Coliseum. And we will have senior high students here on Thursday, the 31st, and then junior high event is Friday, April 1st. And faculty members from Iowa State meet with the students and hear about their ideas and have some conversations with them about their research. And
now that is such a wonderful service of those faculty members.
It is. It's a great opportunity for the students to really speak with professionals about their area of interest. And sometimes they start a mentoring relationship with those professors or have an opportunity to come and and work in their lab. It is a great opportunity. And there'll be over 800 students here on Thursday and Friday of this week.
Certainly the best and the brightest. And
yes.
Then on Saturday, Iowa Odyssey of the Mind State Finals.
Right. And the state finals are here this month. And then in May is when we actually host the world finals. So we're expecting about 400 students to participate here in the state finals. And it's a creative problem-solving competition. Students anywhere from kindergarten through college. And they apply their creative problem-solving skills to a variety of problems that are posed to them. So there's building mechanical devices, presenting their own literary interpretations, and they compete here at the state finals for the opportunity to attend the world finals. At the end of May.
They go straight from state to world?
Yep, exactly.
No national in there.
But no, so there will be students from all over the world here in May.
That's amazing.
For the world finals. We expect about 15,000 people here for that.
Wow. I've heard of Odyssey of the Mind.
Yeah,
knew what it was.
Yeah.
So.
And then we have the Iowa Future Problem Solving State Finals here later in April on the 15th and 16th. And Future Problem Solving prides themselves on teaching students how to think and not what to think. And they have a 6-step problem-solving process that they work with. And they have things like global issues problem-solving, community problem-solving, scenario writing, and action-based problem-solving. And students anywhere from fourth grade on up through high school can compete in that competition. And we're expecting about 300 people for the state finals here in April. And we have also hosted their international competition a few times in the past. Not this year, though.
Okay. And Iowa FFA Leadership Conference, that must happen every year.
Yes, and they come to Iowa State. And this is hosted by the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. And that connection is very important for hosting this event. And there'll be over 5,000 FFA students,
That's
members.
A big number.
Yes, all across the state. Almost all schools across the state have an FFA chapter in the school. And so they learn a lot about careers in agriculture. They compete for scholarships. They do some community volunteer service while they're here. So it's a great event, and this will be their 88th annual conference here.
Oh, my goodness. And then finally, at the end of the month, the IT Olympics.
Yes. And this is through Iowa State University and then the Technology Association of Iowa. And it's the capstone event for students that are participating in the career technology, career awareness program called HyperStream, also involved through the schools. And they compete in application development, cyber defense, robotics, and multimedia. And again, they'll take over Hilton Coliseum for April 29th and 30th, and expecting about 600 students. So these are wonderful events that students get an opportunity to explore Iowa State University, and I think it's a great recruiting opportunity for the university as well.
I'm sure. Yeah, and it's nice, you know, to know that students are not just, you know, stuck in their seats taking tests all the time, that they have these opportunities to grow, expand their knowledge, apply their knowledge.
Yes.
And develop.
And develop their leadership skills. And these events give them the opportunity to come meet other students from across the state that have similar interests. And so it's a great opportunity to make some of those friendships that they might see down the road.
Right.
Yeah.
So when a bunch of students, high school students, come to Ames, mm-hmm. what do they usually do? Where do they go to hang out and have fun?
They quite a bit of their time is programmed, but they do, they'll stay in the hotels and they'll be out in the restaurants having meals.
I'm thinking Hickory Park.
Yes, probably Hickory Park. it's a great opportunity to have some time away from home and have that experience. And they'll spend a lot of time on campus, and at the Iowa State Center. So you'll see them around. You'll see them in the community all month long.
Okay. And then what else do we have coming up in the month of April that we should have our awareness out
Sure.
for?
Well, I thought I would share a few different exciting activities that are very family friendly with our idea, with our theme of students here today. We've got some great educational and family friendly events. Iowa State Center at Stevens Auditorium will be hosting the performance of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. It's a heartwarming family musical that tells the story of Joseph and his 11 brothers and the coat of many colors. And that is on April 5th at 7:30. The municipal pool is doing Dollar Day. On April 10th, you can swim inside at the Ames Municipal Pool, and entrance is only a dollar.
Wow.
And that's from 1 to 3. So if you're ready for spring, but it's not quite swimming weather yet, you can take advantage of that.
I'll make sure not to be there that day.
Lots of families, you can count on it. Step into Storybooks is a great program put on by the Ames Public Library and the local Rotary Clubs. And it will be Saturday, April 16th from 9 to noon. Children from ages 0 to 5 will receive a book, and there'll be lots of interactive events going on at the library. Rhymes and fairy tales will all come to life in the Step Into Storybooks at the Public Library on April 16th.
Sounds like a Raising Readers program.
It is. It's definitely part of their programming as well, yes.
And they're teaming up with the Rotary
Clubs. Rotary Clubs in the library, yep. And then on Sunday, you can go back to the library on April 17th at 2 o'clock and experience the magic of Cinderella, the opera. And this is a Rossini opera, complete with beautiful costumes, a wonderful set, and the magnificent voices of the Opera Iowa singers.
That's incredible. They're going to put an opera on.
At Ames Public Library.
Oh, my goodness.
And it'll be very interactive. The families will have an opportunity to meet the opera singers afterwards and learn a little bit more about opera that's very family friendly. And that is supported by the Ames Community Grant Program. The Iowa State Center is also bringing the Blue Man Group to town. And there will be two showings on April 19th and 20th at 7:30. This is the world-famous Blue Man Group, and it's a great, outrageous, fun show. The whole entire family will enjoy it. Wonderful music, comedy, and a little multimedia theatrics. It'll be an unforgettable evening, April 19th and 20th at 7:30.
They do a lot of percussion, is that right?
Yes, they do, and a lot of lights and theatrics. It's very fun, very high energy.
Okay.
Yes. The Lego exhibit at Ryman Gardens opens on April 23rd, and it's going on through October. Nature Connects Art with Lego Bricks is what it's called, and it is sculptures that 13 larger than life sculptures that are made out of 500,000 Lego bricks.
Oh my goodness. So are these sculptures going to be inside or outside?
They'll be out throughout the gardens.
Oh.
And there will be all wonderful living things and garden theme, outdoor theme, sculptures made with Lego bricks. I know last time they did this a few years ago, there was a man pushing a lawnmower, and it was life-size.
Wow.
Out of Legos. Yeah, it's amazing. You'll have to get a chance to take it in.
Yeah, I know some kids who I'm going to have to
yes,
take there.
Yes, at Ryman Gardens, and it will start April 23rd. It will be on display all through October.
So that's a big
summer event. It'll be a great one. Also on that opening day, April 23rd, they will have Iowa State students there for an activity exploring engineering, and you can practice programming with Legos and make a car, a rover car, and work in teams. And it's a great connection with the IT Olympics and the engineering and the Lego League, it's called.
So I know we're not allowed to talk about cost, but is there a cost associated with that workshop?
That one there is not. No. Now you'll leave the Legos for the next group to play with them.
Right.
But yes, no, it's a great opportunity to go in and work with these students and learn about the technology that they have they use in conjunction with the Lego bricks.
Okay, so what day is that?
That is on Saturday, the 23rd of April, and they'll do it at 11, 1, and 2.
Okay.
So, yeah. We have Run for the Trees out at the Iowa Arboretum, and that's actually that same day, April 23rd at 8 in the morning. And it is a beautiful scenic 5K or 1 mile family walk or run through the Arboretum. Run for the Trees, they're calling it.
So they're raising money through this,
for the Arboretum.
Sponsors and so forth.
We have the Open Streets event with the Healthiest Aims. I forgot the name of the organization. And that will be on Sunday, April 24th from 1 to 4 right here in the Main Street Cultural District. And they'll have a variety of activities for kids and families as well as older adults. Bike, walk, skate, or run to the Main Street Cultural District to get stay active all afternoon with all of these different events.
Open Streets, does that mean they'll shut off the vehicle
traffic?
They'll
close off Main Street for the event, and you can learn about biking, the Complete Streets program that they're working on for transportation process here in Ames, as well as all these other fun activities. Just trying to get people healthy and active and out and about this spring. So. Mm-hmm. Great event, and that's also sponsored by the Community Grant Program. And then just to kick off May, one last thing, Story County Conservation will be having their Spring Festival on Sunday, May 1st. And you can learn about parks and natural areas, and there'll be a program with music, outdoor activities, kids' crafts, and lots more. So it's a great way to kick off spring and the month of May with Story County Conservation out at McFarland Park.
And actually, KHOI is hoping to be out there.
Wonderful.
With a booth and talk to people. And introduce them to us as well.
So perfect.
We're going to enjoy that event quite a bit.
Yes.
Allison, you have perfect timing today.
Good.
It's time for us to say goodbye to not only you, but to our listening audience. Thanks for coming in, Allison. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I've been your host, Greta Anderson. We started the show with Andrea Mallarino and Marcy Webb of Access talking about this upcoming weekend's art show, Hearts for Art, featuring artwork of sexual abuse and domestic violence survivors at the library this weekend. We then spoke with Gavin Aronson of IowaInformer.com about a story he covered last week concerning the naming of the 6th Street Skateboard Park in Ames after Georgie Tsushima, who passed away last year. Georgie's mother, Teresa Downing Matibeg, was in the studio to share her perspectives and memories of Georgie and his friends. Thank you to our guests, and thank you to our regular guest, Allison Walter of Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, who helped us prepare for the month of April. Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests along with links relevant to today's stories, including Gavin Aronson's Iowa Informer article on the Ames Parks and Rec Commission and the article I discussed with Allison about Iowa youth in Ames. Thanks to webmaster Ron Carson for doing that work for us. And you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all our show postings in your newsfeed. Local Talk was engineered by Nadia Abdelazim.
Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Mavis Staples with You Are Not Alone and Soul Coughing with Sugar Free Jazz. At KHOI, we have volunteers of all ages and descriptions. All you need is an enthusiasm for community. Please stop by the station to start your KHOI volunteer experience. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.